So Srila Rupa Goswami is an amazing writer, right? And really the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami, which we don't really know that well, are just mind-blowing sometimes. He writes things that, you know, made the descriptions of the pastimes of Krishna reduce all miseries in the world. And just hearing something like that, you know, you think like, I mean, it's a crazy world. And just hearing about Krishna can change everything. But yeah, who believes that? But it is here, from Crowley, that all of this begins. It's from here that we can actually, you know, do these things. Just glorify Krishna. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, the other day I was discussing it, wrote all these books. And it's just amazing, because if you look at the books are just filled with endless quotes and citations from different scriptures. And you just wonder, how learned were these Goswamis? Especially if you think about it, that there was there were no computers. So that made it a little more complicated to find versus, you know, now it's relatively easy compared to them. But Rupa Goswami was undoubtedly very, very learned. But Rupa Goswami was also assisted by many Vaishnavas. And these Vaishnavas, they would bring verses to Rupa Goswami. Because he was such an incredibly effulgent, exalted personality that everyone understood we should just assist him. He is different. He has special blessings. So let us just be his assistant. And all the Vaishnavas were offering Rupa Goswami different treasures from the scriptures. And he assembled all these treasures in a book called the Padjavali, which is a verse book. So he has and this verse book is basically so many scriptures, so many verses from so many scriptures. Sometimes it's not really clear to Rupa Goswami what the origin is of the verse, and then he just says the author unknown or something like that. But he but he still includes it. So let's just read it. I offer my respectful obeisances to wonderful, playful, mischievous Krishna. If he desires, can make an ocean dry land an ocean, a blade of grass, a thunderbolt, an insignificant blade of grass, fire cool, or snow, a blazing fire. Water unknown. Because he's very affectionate, promises to give fearlessness to his devotee, removes his devotee's sufferings, is generous, takes away his devotee's sin, bestows limitless auspiciousness, and because Prahlad, Vibhishana, Gajendra, Draupadi, Ahalya, and Dhruva testify to these virtues, Lord Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, should be served by all the worlds, utter unknown. Where were the hunter Dharma's piety, Dhruva's maturity, and Gajendra's knowledge? Where was Kupcha's beauty? Where was Sudama's wealth? Where was Vidura's noble birth? Where was Ugrasena's chivalrous strength? Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not by material qualifications. See, Daksinatya. So, this is nice. We're seeing that all these qualities were lacking in the personalities described. Gajendra, an elephant. Elephants are famous for many things, but not for knowledge. Elephants are, they are powerful, strong, but as an animal. Dhruva, speaking about Dhruva's maturity, I mean, 5-year-old boy, performing great austerity, with great determination, but maturity was far, far from him. His desire was also a little childish, right? He wanted a kingdom greater than his father. A little childish in a way. Of course, when he got the darshan of the Lord, finally, after Dhruva had become so powerful and had been able to stop eating. First he had taken just some leaves sometimes, a little water, every other day. And then he had stopped that. And then at one point he stopped breathing, and then the whole universe was choking. That's when the Lord appeared. And, okay, now stop these austerities. It has been enough. Yes. And then by the darshan of the Lord, Dhruva transformed. And Dhruva began to glorify the Lord. The Lord touched him with his conch shell on the head. And then Dhruva was able to speak in an eloquent way. And Dhruva appreciated that I desired broken pieces of glass. Whereas actually, you have given me a diamond. We remember. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered. Actually, it is said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that this pastime about Dhruva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read it 100 times. 100 times. Over and over, again and again, appreciating that. And the mercy that was bestowed upon Dhruva. So it is like this. No material qualification is required, because nothing from this material world can attract Krishna. It is not possible. The only thing that can attract Krishna is anything spiritual. So, what the only spiritual thing we have in this world is devotional service. Nothing else. That's what we have. Our devotional service, other things. What assets do we have? It is through devotional service that we can make the connection. Krishna may manifest in different deity forms, but one cannot connect with the deity unless one performs devotional service. Even someone who comes in the temple and slaps the cheeks and pulls the ears and does all these things, it is some level of devotional service, something. Although maybe not very complete, but something. Naturally, once we understand the deity, then we understand that the deity is Krishna himself, and that the deity must be served and provided for. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatan Goswami explains that the deity must be cared for just like royalty. That's why he's offered a throne, not just a chair, but a throne and a crown and also royal dishes, right? You can't just offer Krishna, some, here's your grub, Krish. That won't do. It's got to be a little bit more elaborate, yes. So in this way, we are offering Krishna. We worship him in royalty, and even it should be even better than that. Prabhupada also would say like that, that the spiritual master should be worshipped as good as God, and therefore he should be offered the best. So the devotees arranged to pick him up in a Rolls Royce. And journalists were complaining, a Rolls Royce. A Rolls Royce. And Prabhupada was saying, well, actually, it's not good enough. It should be a golden Rolls Royce. It should be golden. Because the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, and he must be offered the very best, because the best must be offered to Krishna. So that is devotional service. The best place for Krishna. Of course, if Krishna is given a little corner in the house, that is nice. But if Krishna is given the best place in the house and we take the little corner in the house, that's even nicer. And we are the servant. in the house, and Krishna the master. Then, when Krishna takes the central place in our life, not when, yes, we have been worshipping Krishna in my family since so many generations, so many, yes, in our Gotra. It goes all the way back. Fine, that is good. Krishna is being worshipped. There's one devotee who wrote a book about Krishna, and it's a bit scholarly, and it's called a source book about Krishna, and it's an interesting book because he is in the book exploring how Krishna is worshipped in India and everywhere in India Krishna is worshipped undoubtedly. And he systematically goes over India and he finds all the places where Krishna is worshipped. Rajasthan, he goes, of course, Gujarat is also there. And he comes to South India. Yes. Krishna is also worshipped there. Even in UP, some people call it UPay. Nothing gets done. Anyway, even in UP, Krishna is also worshipped. After all, Vrindavan is there. Like that. So many places. Krishna is worshipped everywhere. And what he does, he's not only looking at that Krishna is worshipped, but he's looking how Krishna is worshipped in different places. And actually, there is very few places where Krishna is properly understood. Where actually it is understood who Krishna is. Some say he is the seventh incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Who understands Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Who understands actually fully Govindam Adi Purusham? Dipachire vijasantram abhipecha dipayate vrithehenu samana dharmya stavike vicha vishnuttam vibhati govindam adi purusham tamam bhajami. Who understands that it's like Krishna is the origin and so many lights can be lit from one light, from one deepa, but he is the original deepa, the original light. So, all these things who understood. So rare to find a Vaishnava. More rare to find a Vaishnava who fully understood Lord Vishnu. Still more rare to find a devotee of Krishna. But then, who understands Krishna properly? Very rare all throughout. So in this way, the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making everything crystal clear. It makes everything completely clear. What's the goal of life? What to do with our life? And that's it now. We have reached, It said one of the types of ignorance is when you've heard the absolute truth is to think that there's more. To think there's still more. Like, okay, well, what's next? No, there's nothing next. It's Krishna. He's the Supreme Lord. Well, what do we do next? Devotional service. Okay. We did that already. Are we going to do something else? No. We're not. What else then? We're chanting Hare Krishna. Okay. Can't do that all the time. Yes, we can. We can. All the time. As they say, what's the result of chanting? What's the result of chanting? More chanting. It's scary, isn't it? We're chanting, and we hope to get some sort of benefit from it.
Where's tears? So many things around my neck.
So, chanting and hoping to get some benefit. And what's that benefit? More chanting. Yes, and then you go to the spiritual world, and there you will chant eternally. So it's scary sometimes if you think about it. The results of chanting is more chanting. They find the spiritual world, you know. Okay, how many rounds you have left? Unlimited. That's different, you know, that two or, you know what I mean, four, no, unlimited. So if you think of the spiritual world, sometimes there's a little fear. Yes, because we cannot understand. Because we cannot, we are like that that boatman. There was the boatman who in Bengal, and basically his job was to, in the days when there were no engines, and it's practically impossible to row a boat against the stream on the Ganga. You know, I mean, you can row and row and row, but you're not going anywhere. So therefore, what the boatmen would do is they would tie a rope to the boat and then walk on the shore and just pull the boat upstream. First of all, there's less current on the side, and second of all, you know, you're actually standing on the shore making progress. The only problem was they had no shoes. There were many thorns and stones, and it was painful. So this particular boatman was thinking, if I was a rich man, you know? And he was thinking, if I was a rich man, then I would put, you know, soft quilts on the bank of the river. Yeah. I would pad the whole river with quilts so that I wouldn't hurt my foot anymore. And then, if I pull my boat, you know, it would be perfectly comfortable. It's like, you know. We are thinking in the same way. We're thinking, chanting forever, chanting unlimited rounds. Because we have no concept. We have no concept of the true ecstasy of chanting. Every day it is Guru Puja. Sri Guru Charana Padma Keala Bhakti Sattva. Practice in the bathroom and, you know, come out in front of the mic and, you know, lead Guru Puja. It's a big thing, a ritual we nicely perform. But do we understand who Prabhupada is? Do we have even any idea who he is? We glorify him in Vyasa Pujas. But his glory way goes beyond us. Way beyond us. Once Malati had a dream, you know. Now, a dream is a dream, right? But still, it's Malati, right? Who is close to Prabhupada, one of Prabhupada's intimate disciples. So she told this dream. And she said, in a dream, she was glorifying Prabhupada, and then this effulgent personality appeared and said, you have no idea. You have no idea who Prabhupada is. You know, like her whole life sort of being so close with Prabhupada, you know. No, so it was a bit of a shock. This beautiful effulgent personality says, you have no idea who Prabhupada is. You know, the whole universe is worshipping Prabhupada. And then she said, then, who are you? He said, I'm one of the Yamadutas. She said, no, but the Yamadutas, they are ugly, you know, they don't look like effulgent and beautiful. No. He said, no, they look like that to the sinful people, but not to the devotees. Yeah? To the devotees, we don't look like that. To the sinful people, we look like that. Anyway, whatever it was, you know, it's a dream, right? A dream. But indeed, an amazing dream, though, right? And a dream, that makes sense, you know. We don't know who Prabhupada is, that's for sure. He is greater than we can imagine. Even if we think of the most amazing things, like when I think about Prabhupada, I can think that Prabhupada did something, right, that he fulfilled the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take Krishna consciousness from east to west and then spread it all over the world. And that's something unique, something that is done only once in the lifetime of Brahma. There are 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas in the lifetime of Brahma. And one of these cycles, right, in the 27th cycle, what was it again? The 27th, in the 8th manvantara, Krishna appears in the Dwapara Yuga. And then, in the Kali Yuga next to that, Lord Chaitanya appears. And then Prabhupada appeared to finish it off and take Krishna consciousness from east to west. It's only done once in a day of Brahma. That's Prabhupada. So, okay, now in my mind I have glorified him for something big. But he's still bigger than what I can imagine. I remember that in 1979, Trivikram Maharaj, you know Trivikram Maharaj? He's a very serious sannyasi. He came first to the UK with the first devotees to preach Krishna consciousness and so on. And Trivikram Maharaj in 1979, he was already then a senior sannyasi. And he said, Lately, I've been developing some doubts. We go what kind of class is this? When the Swami sits on the seat and he starts saying, "Lately, I've been developing some doubts," you sort of look like, what's happening? So we're all sitting there, what's happening? He said, "Yes, I'm having some doubts whether Prabhupada really went back to Godhead." And we're all going, "Oh no, I mean, not Trivikram Maharaj. He's supposed to be such a Prabhupada man, and now he says this." I mean, it's like, "Oh no." He says, "Yes, lately I've been having some doubts whether Prabhupada went back to Godhead. Because lately I started thinking that maybe Prabhupada went to another universe to just do it all over again." And it blew our mind in 1979. We never thought of that. We never ever thought of that. And now, of course, people talk about that sometimes. And I know you've heard that before, that maybe Prabhupada is somewhere in another universe. But then it was the first time we ever heard in Vrindavan, 1970. We were shocked. We were fainting. And with that, Trivikram Maharaj expanded our whole vision of Prabhupada. And suddenly we realized, yes, he didn't just come to one universe quickly, took a few people back. No. Maybe he's doing it again in another universe. And then, why stop? Then why stop? If you think about all these things, then who is Prabhupada? That question is just something we'll never know. We'll just never know. He's greater than any of us knows. We just know the tip of the iceberg, and we glorify him for that. That's all we know. So in this way, we don't even know what we're part of. We're part of a movement. We don't know what we're part of. We're chanting Hare Krishna, and we have memorized a little bit, about the holy name, maybe even the Sikshastakam. The Sikshastakam, do we know? Second verse, Nam namakari bhavudani jasarva sakti satarpita niyamita smaranena kale tadrisita bhakripa bhagavan mamapri to dive vidrisam yajani namanadu. Maybe we have remembered that in these holy names, Krishna has invested all his personal energies completely. Sarva Shakti. Yes, Sarva Shakti is there. Wow. Krishna's invested all his Sarva Shakti in there. All his energy. But what Krishna's Sarva Shakti is, to know that much about Krishna. How much do we know about Krishna? A little bit, you know. Jai Sri Krishna. Okay, Sri Krishna, yellow dhoti, okay, Sri Krishna, these pictures with a lot of glitter, or the baby picture, the fat baby picture, you know. Somehow in India, they like fat babies, I guess. I don't know, but it's like always you see the fat baby picture of Krishna. So whatever, you know, how much do we know about Krishna? How much do we know how Krishna really looks? What do we know? What he has done? So we are spending our time now finding out little by little more about Krishna, more about the holy name. A lifetime is not enough. It's not enough. To find out about Krishna. What can we find out about Krishna? Just a little. Just a little. But still, there's so much that we are eager to find out more and more and more. And that's exciting. And the more you find out, the more taste you get. Like, for example, when I first came in contact with Krishna. I used to go to the museum in Banaras Hindu University. And there in that museum, in the art department, in the museum, they had a museum and they had so many prints, you know, different prints of Krishna. So many, like just maybe 1,000. So I used to go there and look at them, and I was wondering, why so many of Krishna? Because at that time, I was not particularly seeing Krishna as the deity. You know, I saw him as one amongst many deities. And I saw Krishna, some like Krishna, some like Shiva. Shiva. Mambole, Shankar, Shambhu, and so on. Or some, they just go to Ma, Mataji, you see it on the back of the cars as you're driving in India. Jai Mataji. So all these things are there. On the cars, what shall we say? So I didn't know that Krishna was special amongst all the deities, but I appreciated Krishna at the time. So little by little, I became acquainted with Krishna, little by little. And little by little, I became acquainted with the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And little by little, as I sat on the bank of the Ganga and saw the current just flowing, I got a sense of eternity and life after life returning into this world. Little by little, I understood. And yes, as I was reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, which I had somehow or other received from a friend, I was smoking cigarettes and blowing rings through rings. I was good at that. What shall I say? Blowing rings through rings. and saying to myself, I know all this, as I was reading the Gita. Because I thought, I understood, I knew about karma and reincarnation, so I thought, I know all this. Now I think, when I read the Gita, I don't know anything about what is written here, because I realize there are so many dimensions to it, and I'm just scratching the surface now. So much to do. So much more time to spend with Krishna. It's not from now I've done it. Now, you know, I joined. Now I did. I joined the movement. And I mean, you know, today actually is exactly 1 year ago. I did celebration. It's a cake with one candle for the occasion. Easy to blow out. Anyway, so like that, we can think, it's done, I'm part of it. No. This is not what it's all about. It's not about the Hare Krishna movement. The Hare Krishna movement is the means. The Hare Krishna movement is not the goal. It's not like, after a long time of searching, Bhavanam janmanamante jnanavamam pravajante vasudeva savamiti samahatma sudurbhava. After many, many lives of searching, finally I've found, I've come home, I've joined the Hare Krishna movement. No, this is not home. This is a transit lounge. This is a station. Here we have to board the train. You know, don't fall asleep now, right? Because you might just miss it, you know how it is. In plane, in waiting lounges, there's always the sleeper. 412. There's always the sleeper, you know, who is just waking up after the plane has already left, you know. We saw the lady as we were boarding to the gate next to us. Yeah. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Nobody said, well, we'll call the plane back for you, lady. But like, what are you going to do now, right? Too late. Too late. So, this is a place from where we have to board the train. This is the place from where we have to take up the process. This is the place where we have to ourselves get on the train. You can't just say, okay, I made it, I got to the station. You know, that's great, welcome. You're in the right place, you know. No, I made it, I got to the station, yeah. I mean, okay, you know, I got the ticket, everything, I'm on the station. Yeah, fantastic, you know. Right? Now, board the train, everybody, board the train, please. Board the train now, please, board the train. So what is the train? The train is that there's a process. It's not about the temple, of course, the temple is nice, a nice place. But it's about the process that is happening in the temple. You know, whether we have golden glitter on the walls or whether we don't, you know. That's not the essence. That's not going to make the difference. Yeah. Of course, pictures of Krishna help in temples because they remind us of Krishna. Anything that reminds us of Krishna helps. But, you know, that's not enough. You know, generally speaking, you know, it takes a bit more than just looking at pictures of Krishna. You know? Looking at pictures of Krishna. This is my process, looking at pictures of Krishna. That's very good. But are you chanting? Yeah. Without chanting, looking at pictures of Krishna, you may not it may not be enough.
Because
Jiva Goswami said, all service must be preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name. That is the Yuga Dharma. So like this, what I'm trying, where I'm heading is quite clear. We have to take it ourselves. We have to board the train. It's not that we can go on automatic pilot and now I'm part of this, you know, I'm part of this movement. Congratulations. You know what I mean? Welcome. You know? Very nice. And we celebrated with a piece of cake. Absolutely. That you've been around for 1 year. Or any excuse for cake, you know what I'm saying? That's fine. But then, is it enough? Sometimes you hear, they say, just eat your way back to Godhead. Have you heard that? I've heard it, right? Now, you know, can you really eat your way back to Godhead? Well, it can contribute to it. Yeah. But as a process, it's not enough. And it's, you know, just more and more cake. Will it do? No, it's Chan Hari Krishna. We have to bow down at the feet of the Vaishnavas. We have to do so many things to learn to become a Vaishnava. So we have to board the train. We have to take up the process ourselves to get to the destination. That is really what we're meant to do in the temples. Just coming and being part of it, even regular, is not good enough. It is, what are we really doing with the process? Are we reading the Bhagavatam? One thing you can see in Srila Prabhupada is that Srila Prabhupada, as we know, he was a congregational member or a congregational devotee. Right? He was that Mr. Day who had a pharmacy business and who was, gave nice donations and somehow or other could really play mridanga. Right? He's a good mridanga player because his father had him educated from early age. Right? So he knew how to play mridanga. So that was it. Later, to everyone's amazement, he became A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and he became so successful in preaching in the Gaudiya Mathe, they didn't expect it. Wow, how did that happen? Yeah. But then, since Prabhupada was a householder, a businessman, and all these things, you would think that he must have been very busy. He had four children. Four. Anyone has four? I mean, if you have four, you have your hands full, huh? And yeah, it's lots of bills, you know. I mean, every kid brings a few bills with it. Yeah, cost a handful, you know. And you have to work for that, right? It doesn't grow on trees, as everybody knows. And then, you know, it takes all your energy, all your time. So considering all that, you know, you might think that Prabhupada, although always a devotee at heart, became serious about his practices in old age. But his learning shows something different. His learning is brought from Bhagavatam. And you know, in old age, gosh, you know, I mean, I can't remember anything at now. You know, now, and I'm not that old yet, but getting there. And I can't remember anything. It's getting really bad. All the time now, I meet people and they say, remember? And I go, all the time. And then I have to dredge my memory and then somewhere, very, very far, you know, from the fog, some sort of vague memory comes. And it's really like, going senile, I think. I am. What to do, at least memory-wise. Mm. So, now I even forgot what I was talking about. Just, God sells into the detail of the memory. What was it talking about?
Prabhupada's learning throughout his life.
Prabhupada's learning throughout his life, thank you. Yeah. So the point was that Prabhupada had been reading Bhagavatam even while he was a householder. And because he had been reading it throughout his life, therefore at the end of his life, he remembered it. You know, that's something. So that's our acharya. That is our example. You know, no one can say, well, Prabhupada had it easy and we, you know, I mean, we have to struggle. No, no. He just showed the perfect example also as a household. So it's now. Boarding the train means now we read the Bhagavatam. Now. Really read it. Not just, but really get into it and read it. You know, I know one devotee, he is a top executive, like has a job which it is like very highly placed government job, and endless international travel, always here, there, and everywhere, and you know, conference calls and meetings and with heads of state and big people and all this kind of thing. Really like serious career, and those kind of jobs, you know, are super demanding. You can't just say it's six and I'm going home or something like that. No, you know, it's like the work, the job has to be done. And yet I stayed in his house, and then he has a library, you know, and then in the library I saw in all the books pencil marks, underlining here, underlining there, and circles around things. And I said, God, he's really reading all these books. It's not just collecting them, he's reading them. And so busy. And a whole library full of books, and he's really reading them. And although he's a married man with kids, right? And in the winter, in the country where he lives, it can be cold, right? And then I see him sitting early in the morning in the lounge. And he has this big orange blanket. You know, it's a blanket. It's not a chadar. It's just a big blanket. But orange, you know. I think, you know, there's a meditation there in that blanket. I think so. Yeah. Let's see. So, my point is, we have to really take up the process, and that you have to do yourself. You know, I did one exercise once. I was in a large gathering of people, and in the course of the seminar, I was speaking about the herd syndrome, and that everyone sort of looks at, like,
to the left,
to the right, and then says, "Bleh," you know. Basically, yeah, does what everybody else does. And then in the lecture, I got so enthusiastic that I got all the 1,000 people to say it at the same time, and they all said, "Bleh." I'm not going to get you to do it, but I tell you. It was because you're not enough anyway, but you know, it was a shock. It shocked me actually when I heard that sound. So many people, you know, it really sounded like a herd of sheep. My God, it was overwhelming. It was shocking. Yeah. So anyway, it's not just that we are in this movement. We have to ourselves do it. We have to ourselves rise in the morning, you know. We have to ourselves chant. We have to ourselves read. We have to do that. Otherwise, you know, how will we ever find out more about Krishna? If we don't try to find out more about Krishna, how will we know? How can we ever experience how amazing Krishna is? If we don't find out who he is, right? And when we find out who he is, yes, then we'll certainly find him amazing. And that is Krishna consciousness. When it gets amazing, see, it's supposed to be amazing. If it's not amazing, you know, then you can speak about my spiritual duty. That's difficult. Now, but Krishna is amazing. If we take the time to find out. So that's my point tonight, and I'll end with that. And if anyone has a question or a comment, then I'll try to answer. I'm not staying so much longer because I have a hectic day tomorrow. And after that, also, even more hectic day. And then on Monday, I have a hectic flight schedule going to India. And then I have there some hectic things coming. So, looking at it all, I didn't want to make it too hectic tonight. But if anyone has a question, can keep me here for a few more minutes. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Maharaj. How would you say, or any practical tips that you could say, that we could maintain enthusiasm for chanting and reading on a daily basis, and yeah, making sure that we're consistent?
Mm-hmm. I spoke about that in the manner, how a devotee needs to have a radar. You need to have this radar and constantly scan the environment of Krishna, of the Krishna conscious world, and see where the nectar is, and just go for it. Even if you have to, you know, take some austerity. But if you do, you know, then that keeps you going. Like, you know, the Crawley gang came over to Radhadesh, you know, beards and all, you know, anyway, you know, and danced, you know, like an intoxicated choir, you know, and intoxicated by the holy name, of course, you know, but then they really, you know, at one point they're all leaning on each other's shoulders and going up and down. You think, you really think, you know, but you know, given the benefit of the doubt, I'm sure it was the holy name. You know. But I'm also quite sure that those who were in that, you know, in those dances, that they got some juice out of that. You know what I'm saying? And it's like keeps them. And that's what we need. We need to just look for the juice and go for it. Just go for it. And that's described as Nitya Kriya and Naimitika Kriya. Nitya Kriya is the regular daily practice, the ongoing practice. Naimitika Kriya are the special events or the special endeavors. And it is said the special endeavors, the Naimitika Kriya, do two things. They bring new life to the Nitya Kriya, and they also expand the boundaries. For example, if, say, you chant 64 rounds sometimes, you know, that's Naimitika, something special. And it worked. You know, they think, wow, I can actually do it. I never imagined I could, but I can. So, do it again. And if you've done it a couple of times, then, you know, okay, well, you know, do it once a month. What else? Like that, you know. So sometimes through Naimitika Kriya you can raise the bar. Yeah. So these two are needed. You know, the Nitya Kriya, the steadiness in everyday practice, and looking with our radar, you know, for the special things and taking on special things. Therefore this center needs to, besides giving steadiness and offering a regular steady program to its congregation, it must also, you know, the steady program is really nice, that like, wherever you go to an ISKCON temple, there's Mangala Arati. Yeah? And it's the same songs, you know. You go somewhere, like, you go in some exotic country where people speak exotic language, but you walk in and it's the same samsara. Dhavana means now connecting. So nice. You can just connect. So that's the Nitya Kriya. You can always connect. The world goes, you know, sometimes in funny curves. Right? But it goes, the temple, it just goes on, the same thing. And you come back and it's still going on, you know. Your whole world collapsed and there was an earthquake and, you know, and a volcano and so many things. Right? But, you know, then you go to the temple and it's just the same normal routine, you know. Mangalarti Guru Puja. So that steadiness is needed in the temple. And then the special events are needed. Both. Of course, we have the Vaishnav calendar. That's the beginning for special events. And then there are even extra special events. Like you had, like your little retreat with, you know, with last. Right, whenever it was winter, Amalaharinam, I was also there. That was special. So, these things are needed. The combination of the two is what we do. Now it's 9:15, it's sort of like escape time. You know. And there were a few devotees who wanted to talk also a bit to me, I heard, but, and okay, I can see about that for another 15 minutes or so, then I'm really out the door. What to do? Next time I come to Crawley, see, we can start earlier. I know you have a habit of late starting, so I have heard you like midnight and after also. Is it? But like, you know, we have to drive back and like that. It's going to be midnight. So, you know, next time we'll just, for me, if you can start a program at 7 and just be here, that would be fantastic. I'll also be here then at 7 and then we can just then you can get more juice. The later it gets, then the juice get a little less also. Gotta save some juice for tomorrow. But anyway, thank you very much for coming and having me here. And hope to meet you all again sometime, somewhere. And some came from far. We want to thank them for coming also. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.